Welcome, everybody, to the Depths of Motherhood podcast. This is a special season dedicated to the tribe of the mother. But also, I know any mothers listening will find this extremely valuable. I've created each episode to offer simple, digestible, and supportive information, which I hope will educate and inspire anyone who listens. So this is by popular demand. Please help us to educate and support the tribe holding the mother. Look forward to passionate and highly knowledgeable guests dedicated to reclaiming the essence of birth and embracing conscious parenting. Throughout our time together, our guests will serve as the guiding voices, illuminating the path towards a deeper understanding of preconception, pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. This is with the mother and the baby being the center of the exploration. In the show notes, you'll discover the link to Nourished Mother Package, which will offer many different resources to complement each episode. This is free for all members in the women's circle or £33 for everybody who just wants to purchase the package. A heartfelt thank you to our incredible guests and immense gratitude to my partner for supporting me on this creation. And finally, last but not least, special thank you to Araya, my daughter, for being the endless well of inspiration. Welcome everybody to this week's episode. Today we have Lisa Hendrickson-Jack on the show. Lisa is a certified fertility awareness educator and holistic reproductive health practitioner. She is the founder of the Fertility Awareness Mastery Mentorship Program, and she is author of three best-selling books, The Fifth Vital Sign, The Fertility Awareness Mastery Charting Workbook, and her most recent book, Real Food for Fertility, which she co-authored with Lily Nichols. Lisa works tirelessly to debunk the myth that regular ovulation is only important when you want children by recognizing the menstrual cycle as a vital sign. Drawing heavily from the current scientific literature, Lisa presents an evidence-based approach to help women connect to their fifth vital sign by uncovering the connection between the menstrual cycle, fertility, and overall health. With well over 4 million downloads, her podcast, Fertility Friday, is the number one source for information about fertility awareness and menstrual cycle health. In this conversation, we're really digging deep into these missing pieces of information that young girls aren't given in school, and ones that we're still trying to figure out and bring into our life throughout womanhood. Today, we go into the key points around fertility and menstrual cycle awareness and the misinformation that is still filtering through our collective. I asked Lisa about the fifth vital sign and why this has been such a motivation for her. Why she thinks it's so important that women need to receive this information and connect to this fifth vital sign, and how this really leads into these physical and emotional components of coming back into rhythm with our inner world, and also in what ways our external world can influence our relationship with ourselves, with our cycle. There's a part in this conversation where we go into hormonal contraception and really just looking at the effects that this has on our senses. So receiving information from the outside world and be able to interpret this information accurately so that we can get very clear on what is happening in our reality so that we can make choices that best serves us, that best nourishes us. And so that sometimes means that there's going to be adjustments that our body is asking for as we slow down and listen. And by the end of the conversation, it's really pulling it back into the simplicity of this practice of being with the menstrual cycle, and also a trust and a gentleness as things may want to shift, may want to evolve in your life. That actually our cycle, because we have this dance of the hormones throughout the month, it offers us time. We have time and we have space to see what is actually working for us and that which isn't. So first of all, it's coming into relation with our body and learning her language. Again, I want to thank Lisa for the incredible work that she is doing in the world. She has been one of the women that has helped me to become more clear and aligned on my own journey. Before we go into this conversation, I welcome you just to open up through your body and notice how it feels to receive the next breath. And let it be guided to the area in your body which is calling for this breath. And as you exhale, let's just come to soften and receive this beautiful conversation. Lisa, thank you so much for being here with us. I've been really looking forward to this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Ooh. So, first of all, I want to get to know you a little bit more. I have read your book. I've read two of your books now, actually. So, I've
Amazing.
read The Vital Sign and I have read Real Food for Fertility. Absolutely incredible. I've been bigging that up all on the last episode. But I'd love to know how you got into doing this work. Like, what inspired you? What motivated you to go down this path?
Absolutely. I will try to make it somewhat short. But when I was a teenager, and I started having periods. They were painful and heavy. And so, like many women, I had no idea what to do, but girls talk. So I went to my doctor and asked to be put on the pill. And so for those teenage years, I was probably on the pill for 2 to 3 years or something around age 15 or something like that. I discovered that the pill helped make my air quotes periods easier. But being a child, I thought, oh, I'm fixed. And so every now and then I would come off the pill only to discover that my actual periods would come back with vengeance. So I didn't have the knowledge or information to really explain what was happening to me, but I did understand that whatever was happening on the period wasn't this or on the pill wasn't the same as what was my natural period. So then I did think that there was something wrong with having periods that were so excessively painful. And I did have concerns about my future fertility because I saw my mom go through a hysterectomy because she had fibroids. So I had this stuff in my brain, even as a young person. And so when I needed to have birth control, I decided to come off the pill because I thought to myself, okay, so hopefully I'll be able to figure out what's going on with my periods, like why they're so ridiculous. And then also I didn't really trust the pill because I had always just used it for controlling what was going on with my period. So I wasn't taking it at the same time every day and all that. And I had read the instructions and I just felt like I was always going to be scared that I was pregnant and didn't know it because occasionally I would take two pill packs back to back. So this was my big fear that I would take the pill pack back to back and be pregnant and not know and then be shocked to discover that I was with child. So right around that time is when I discovered fertility awareness. And so that was just perfect timing. Looking back, I was meant to be. Because all of a sudden, I learned that I wasn't fertile every day. I no longer had to fear my fertility. For me, learning that really helped me to understand what was going on. And it was the opposite of what I had been taught. You know, in junior high, we're all taught that you can get pregnant on every day and there's no safe days. And all of a sudden, I didn't feel scared anymore because now I could understand what was going on in my cycle. And I certainly wasn't going to be surprised by a pregnancy. So this was great. So, I mean, that was my initial kind of introduction to fertility awareness. And what happened over the years was that I was just charting for the practical reason of birth control, but I quickly realized that there was a health component because one of my charting instructors had a peek at my chart and she noticed that my temperatures were low and my cycles were long. And she told me, she said, you know, Lisa, I think you might have a thyroid issue. You should get this checked out. And so I was found to have a subclinical, thyroid issue, hypothyroidism. And that blew my mind because you just looked at my chart, you just looked at these dots and lines and whatever, and now you could tell me that there was something wrong with my health. That really shifted things for me. So this idea that the menstrual cycle is like a vital sign is something that I have known for a very long time. And it was something that I learned. A group of us took a training program to teach charting when I was in my 20s. And that was one of the components of the program that we took. So this has been on my radar for a long time. What happened in terms of when I decided to shift and actually dive into the field outside of coffee shops and nonprofit, you know what I mean? Because we were doing it very grassroots initially, which was awesome, right? It was super fun, but it wasn't something that I could have made a career out of, or at least I didn't think so. So fast forward, all through my 20s, I was able to use this method. I was teaching women, like I said, at a grassroots level. And then when I had my eldest son, that's when things shifted. I think a lot of women who are in business kind of find that when they have children, puts a lot of things into perspective. And that's when I decided to start my podcast because it was a thing now. When I discovered fertility awareness, it was like year 2000 or whatever. How old am I? But there was no podcast, there was no smartphones, there was no apps, right? There was none of these things. So that's part of the reason why I just had never thought it could be a thing early on. And so I put it out there, and my whole thought process was, you know, this really changed my life for the better. It made so much of a difference, completely changed the trajectory for me and taught me so much. Let's see if anyone else is interested. And obviously, it turns out that there are a couple people who were interested in what I had to say. And so out of that came obviously the books and where we are today.
Wow, thank you so much for sharing. And it's every time I hear someone's story about them being on the pill, I have different flashbacks of my own experience. And today I tasted it. I haven't thought about this for ages, but you know the sweet taste, like the sugar coating that's on them? Like I
Oh,
just
that's so
got
funny.
that. Ooh, and I just remembered how gross. Like I can every day when I used to take the pill, I was like, I put it in and I would just like chug loads of water because that sweet taste would make me gag. And I just got that so strongly, like my eyes started to water. Since you were saying that,
That's crazy.
I
I
haven't thought
haven't
about it for
thought
so
about that
long.
for so long. Because for me, it's been a lot. Like the last time I took the pill must have been around, I don't even know, 17 or 18 or something like that, like around that. So it really has been over 2 decades
I think mine's been like 15 years.
But I do remember that it was kind of sweet. I had completely forgotten.
Oh, I'm like the tiniest thing, but I felt like I was taking like the biggest boulder, like the sweet sugar-coated boulder, just like get it in there. So that was very interesting to experience that. Oof. But I think it is so fascinating the what you're saying about the chart that you saw. So you could read something that was coming through on this piece of paper to tell you what was happening on the inside, which is actually just your like biomarkers telling you, oh, this is what's happening. So when you wrote your book, The Fifth Vital Sign, could you just go into like what was the like inspiration for that? Because obviously the title of the book says it all, but what really stood out for you as you were writing this book? Because it is when I found your book, I'll just say I was pregnant already when I found your book and I read it. And the reason I read it was because I became an unexpectedly pregnant. Surprise! Like I was with my partner for 6 months and I was actually tracking by the days, but I didn't understand that there was other things to check, like my temperature, like my cervical mucus. I was just going off days because it was very new for me. I'd only come off of the pill, like, I mean, it wasn't that new. I'd come off years before, but I thought I'm gonna start tracking. I'm gonna start like seeing what is happening in my body. But I hadn't had this information. So even as I say, I can't believe that it was only like 5 years ago that I started to really understand or learn or remember this. So when I got your book, I was like, oh, why didn't no one tell me this before?
Yeah. Well, your question of what was kind of going through my mind and what kind of where did it all come from? It's the answer is in what you just said, because the most common thing that women tell me when they discover fertility awareness, if they find my podcast or the book, they always say, why doesn't every woman know this stuff? Every woman should know. And there's always this disbelief about it because it's something that in many ways, it is quite complex. That's why there's so many studies cited, right? That's why there's so many things referenced. But in many ways, it's actually quite a simple concept. And so once we understand the concept of how our menstrual cycle works and the different phases of the cycle and which days are fertile, so you know, you have your period and then you move into this pre-ovulatory phase. And if your cycles are healthy, you see several days of cervical fluid. It looks like the creamy white hand lotion or the clear, stretchy raw egg white type, you can see one or the other or a combination or something like that. And then that leads into ovulation. And once you ovulate, typically the mucus goes away and then you get your period about 2 weeks later. We can start to understand that those fertile days are those days that we see the mucus because, you know, it keeps the sperm alive. So there's a lot of detail there that we could go into, right? Like I teach a 9 month class on this stuff, right? So we can go into all that detail, but in many ways, it's very simple to understand. So when it comes to why I wrote the book, it was my answer to that question. You know, everybody should know this. So I was trying to really comprise what it is that we should know. And the title, The Fifth Vital Sign, that just felt natural to me because that was what I was trying to convey. It wasn't just about the practical application of charting, which is important. It's important to be able to accurately chart your fertile signs so that you can get the highest possible efficacy when you're charting. So, like in your case, if you had known what signs to track beyond the dates, because essentially when you're looking at days, it's the rhythm method, which many of us have heard about, and that's when we're guesstimating when we think we're going to be fertile based on what's happened in past cycles. But that's not effective for most women because our cycles fluctuate. I always say we're not robots, so every cycle is not a repeat of the next one. And what modern fertility awareness-based methods teach, they teach us to track those biomarkers. So instead of looking at the dates, we're looking at our cervical mucus. When is it happening? Do we have it or not on those days? Because that's what determines whether or not we're fertile in real time. And when I'm teaching fertility awareness, I'm teaching a version of the symptothermal method. And we actually do look at some of that data from previous cycles to determine like a last infertile day calculation in the preovulatory phase. And we combine that with mucus to enhance the overall efficacy. So we actually do use a component of that, but it's not relying entirely on this concept of, when was I fertile last cycle? So, that all of that stuff that I just said, it's like we need to understand our cycles. Everyone should have access to that information. And whether we use it to actually use the method and go all the way is kind of irrelevant. I feel like we should all have the information, the basic knowledge of how our cycles work, how they're connected to our overall health and fertility, that it's not just about whether you can use it for birth control or optimize your timing for conception, but it's also about health. That is information that really I have never met a woman who learned this and was not just touched by it in some way. Whether she wants to use it as a method is a separate question, but I've just never met a woman who discovered this information and wasn't just immediately intrigued and just wanting to learn more and really confused as to why she didn't know it already.
Thank you so much for sharing that. So I was thinking back to, so I went on the pill very young, like maybe 13. I think I'd had three periods or something. And I didn't go on for any symptoms I was having. It was because I was afraid of becoming pregnant, even though I wasn't having sex, but I was wanting to become an adult, become a woman. And so I thought that going on the pill would mean that I would be a woman because that's all I saw. And then as you're talking and you're sharing about this, this information that all women should have, like we should be given it, it should be available to us as we're growing up. I feel into my like inner child of if I would have been able to have this information, it would have brought me back to my body and helped me to understand my own boundaries. It would have helped me to trust my intuition when it came to men, to other decisions. Like it would have helped me to reconnect at a much younger age instead of getting into my 20s, coming off the pill, starting to pick up on the things around me, especially my partner at the time who was married to. Like I divorced pretty quickly after coming off the pill. And there wasn't anything like dramatically, but I do think after going deeper with myself and listening to other women's stories, like the pheromones that we actually don't pick up on, right? When we're on hormonal contraception, like we become disconnected from what the outside world is telling us. It just blew my mind of the things that we've been cut off from. And as we come back and we learn and we come back online, it can be kind of overwhelming. And the like as the hormones come back into balance, there can be this, for what I experienced in myself, like kind of like a little bit chaotic as I found myself back, came back to center, as I come back to my own balance. So I'm curious with what you've seen in yourself, maybe with women that you're working with, how to navigate this finding balance again, coming back to a natural rhythm.
Big shout out to our sponsor, Evolving Humans, who are the pioneers for energy healing. This practice that I was taught 4 years ago has been studied by researchers all around the world. to provide evidence of the physiological effects of energy healing. And I'm not just saying this because it's a promotion, but I have used this practice every single day for 4 years, and personally I've noticed the most impact in my emotional state. This energy practice taught me how to feel energy in my body and observe the sensations. The technique involves you using your hand and connecting to the energy field within your body. And with this gentle, loving awareness that you bring to the table, everything is seen and lived. The whole being comes into alignment. During the birth of my daughter, I tore, and the discomfort that I was experiencing with this tear started to ease up dramatically when I would use this technique. In the show notes, you'll find the link to Evolving Humans so that you can explore this healing technique, which is available through a course that you can join today.
So much there. I do that. That is one of the controversial pieces of, you know, study data, that what you bring up about the pheromones and things like that. I feel like when I first came out with the fifth vital sign, I talk about some of the research in the pill chapter. And I've certainly got some kind of pushback on that. Like, people get all thorny. But what I find interesting about that is that I'm just reporting on what the research says. So it's not that I made it up. There's research, and it's so fascinating. It's in the field of either evolutionary biology or something like that. And so they have this whole, it's not one paper. They have all this research about the MHC. It's like the mysto-histocompatibility complex. It's a really long word. And it's just this whole concept that you are primed to be attracted to and potentially seek a partner who is different from you genetically. And they can actually measure how different your partners are from this genetic standpoint. And it's obviously not something we're doing consciously. It's related to our pheromones and everything, like you mentioned. And when you're on birth control, it changes how we perceive this person's scent, which is one of the ways that when they say scent, I think sometimes you actually smell something that smells not great, but I think other times it's more subtle. Maybe the absence of a negative smell, right? There's just something about it. Cause I can't say like, I smell my partner, he has a scent, but I can say that like when I'm all up in his grill, like I've been up in other men's grills and not liked what I smelled. So, right. So it's very subtle, but when you're on birth control, they've done these studies, they've done various tests. They've done the t-shirt study where they get men to like work out, and then they have people smell the t-shirts. I mean, it sounds crazy, but this is legit research. They've done this stuff. And women who are on the pill tend to choose, they're more likely to choose a partner that's more genetically similar. And so they're, from their perspective, then theoretically, that would decrease that reproductive compatibility and things like that. And who knows, with your experience, I have heard women say some dramatic things, that if they come off the pill, their boyfriend had a smell. I gave an example of someone who said that in the book. I think it was in a podcast or something. where we were talking and she shared that experience. And then that's why people get all bent out of shape, because they're just like, you know, all these women are afraid now that they're going to come off the pill, that they're going to get a divorce, the partner, like, right? It doesn't always happen like that. So it doesn't always have to be dramatic. But I think the broader question and concern that you're raising is, if it can do that, if it can have an impact potentially on who we're choosing as a partner, then what is the potential impact on our intuition and things like that? And so as somebody who has been cycling for all these years, with the advantage of having body literacy and learning fertility awareness and having a deeper understanding of how my cycle connects to my health, I mean, I know that that's made a big difference in my life, because we do, as women, if we are cycling, then there is this there's the cyclicity to our lives. There are these ebbs and flows that we go through, cycle after cycle, period after period. You know, there's Alexander Pope and Shawnee Hugo Wurlitzer, they talk about the seasons of the menstrual cycle, and they break it down into, like, you know, your winter when you're having your period, and the spring as you approach ovulation, the summer right around ovulation, and then the fall when you're in the luteal phase, the week or two before your period starts, and then you go back into the winter again. And anybody who's been cycling for any period of time, you know, maybe you weren't aware of it, but once you start paying attention, you do experience changes in your mood, your energy, and things like that on a cyclical basis, depending on where you are in your cycle. And I think that there's a way to look at that positively. So in terms of intuition, one of the kind of personal experiences and observations that I've made is that that kind of, you know, inner fall, inner winter, when you're approaching your your period, I mean, there can be huge problems if your hormones are out of balance, if you are not consuming enough protein, for example, or you're exercising and you're not consuming enough overall calories to support your what your body needs. Like, you can create a situation where your hormones are totally off balance if you're not living in a certain way. So you can exacerbate it. But let's assume that a woman is healthy and her hormones are fairly balanced. You'll still experience some shifts in your mood and your energy during that time. And I think that that's normal. One of the stats that I shared in, I think I may have shared it in both books, is that, you know, up to like 90% of women say they experience some PMS symptoms. So one of the things that I've noticed is that as you're approaching your period, some of the things that come up for you, you know, they say you have PMS, or they call it Dragon Week, or whatever they want to call it, you know, when you have your period. But typically you're not mad that the sky's blue. Like, you're not bawling because you have to put gas in your car, right? Like, typically there are real issues that you're upset about. You're just more upset than usual, or like it's really exacerbated. So that would be one of the ways I think that our intuition is tied to our cycle. I have personally found, so you can take this with a grain of salt, right? And a one, but I have personally found that if there are things that are really bothering me, sometimes that's when they come more to the surface and they come to my attention. And I wonder, you know, if I didn't have my period as my little secretary, like putting the stuff on my desk once a month, if I would take care of it. You know, that like you got that boyfriend that's kind of like a jerk, but like most of the time he's nice, right? But then when you have your period time, you're really pissed off about it. And you're kind of like, why am I with you? So like, start journaling that stuff. But like, I feel like stuff like that. And so I think it's important not to discount the things that come up when you are in that phase of your cycle. And I think that you can learn to work with it. This is this whole concept of body literacy. So this is more of the kind of emotional aspects of the fifth vital sign. I know I spend most of my time talking about the more physical aspects, hormonal imbalances and things like that. But this piece of it is absolutely there. And I think it is an essential kind of piece of this whole puzzle. And I think that this is like a super long answer, but I think that women who have been on birth control for the long term, let's say 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years or whatever, that can be a challenge when they come off of it because they've never really had to make those adjustments. And I would say there's the two components of it. So there's the emotional piece that we talked about, where you might just feel like you're going nuts for a little while until you get used to the fact that you have these cycles and kind of surrender to them and find out what they have to teach you. But also on a physical level, when you have not gotten used to just learning what it is that your body needs to function properly. So this is essentially the format that we lay out, Lily and I, in Real Food for Fertility, when we're talking more about the physical aspects, more about the dietary things. You know, what should you be eating? You know, we talk a lot about balancing macronutrients, getting sufficient protein and fat, as those are the building blocks of our hormones. How much are you consuming relative to your energy level? So if you don't have your period there, if you don't have your cycle to kind of show you what it is that your body needs, then maybe you were working out a ton, not eating enough, drinking a ton of coffee and not getting enough sleep. And then when you come off the pill, your cycle has gone haywire, your PMS is through the roof, you've got all kinds of things going on, you don't have energy anymore. Like, you're kind of like, what is going on? And this would be the crash course into how to start working with your body and how to start using that menstrual cycle as that vital sign that gives you that feedback so that you actually learn what your actual limits are.
Wow, that's really powerful. I'm getting like this image of when I was on hormonal contraception, and also like after I'd come off of it, but still not in tune, I could push myself so much more, like push myself to the limits, not sleeping. The exercise I was doing was all endurance work, and I would be training my body for like 3 or 4 hours a day and not getting the nutrients that my body needed. But I just kept pushing. I was in the military as well at the time. So I was in this all male environment, just like living such a linear life. And when I start, it wasn't like almost like not a choice to listen to my body. It was like a crying out, like you have to. And it came not in like physical symptoms, actually. I never used to have heavy periods or painful periods or anything like that. They were always, after I came off the pill, they start to, they were quite regular straight away, actually, which surprised me. But what spoke to me the most was my emotions. So I had depression, I had eating disorders, like it came through in that way. But I never linked it to coming back to myself to listen. I never linked that as a message from my body. I always presumed it would come in the form of illness, like a physical illness. But the way for me it manifested was with this depression, was with these overeating, trying to like ground myself down, come back to myself. I felt like that was what my body was trying to do. So then when I started to actually tune in, I first of all started to tune into my emotions. I went that way through the seasons was the first thing that I really started to tune into. And then from reading your book and then going deeper into this, understanding the physiological patterns, arisings, that then allowed me to kind of merge these two worlds, like the emotional and the physical, and bring that together. Because my background is as a nurse, so I was surprised that I didn't go into this originally. But even in nursing, we were not taught the depths of the menstrual cycle and biomarkers. That just was not taught to us. So anyway, when I started to come back into the rhythm, and then I started to see, okay, through each phase, what would my body prefer? And because I didn't know, I couldn't listen to her language, so I didn't have a clue from my own self. But from like reading books like yours, listening to stories, I started to see what other people were doing, and I started to try that out myself. And so as I did that, and I was able to listen to myself more and more, the kind of other people's rituals and practices started to melt away, and I was able to find my own way. So it wasn't as intense anymore. It didn't feel like I was trying. And I love your latest book with Lily, because I feel in that there's this perfect balance and this reminder of how food can be this ritual and this ceremony to come back to ourselves, and also then let that like nourishing, replenishing energy continue to our family and our community, because that affects our inner world and vice versa. And then it becomes this more spiritual exploration, which I really never thought that it would be when I first started on this. But there's no way it can't be when you start to connect to your body and you connect to food, which is sourced from earth. Like it's like the most spiritual experience. And I find it so beautiful right now and the women around me, because we give each other reminders. So if like a woman's going through something and one of us says, hey, where are you at on your cycle? And they'll be like, oh, I'm in my autumn phase. And they're like, that makes sense to why like all this stuff has come to be seen. And then because of all the conversations we're having, we remind one another like, okay, let's take a look at it and see what's like really, really there to be seen, and not rush into it to be fixed, which is, I feel like, is a societal way of doing things. Like we have to fix it right now, but instead like an observation and a pause. And just by seeing it and listening and feeling in our body, that the messages will come through in their own time and more gently and more precisely than if our mind tries to like take it on board and try to fix it in that moment. So I would love just to ask one more question, because I know we're moving towards the end. In our society, things have changed so much. I feel like they're changing so rapidly with how we are understanding the human body in general, understanding like external influences. Social media is huge and spreading so much information everywhere. But how can you see that the society and external influences are still continuing to influence a woman's connection to her menstrual cycle?
I mean, I think that our society is set up kind of opposite to what we would require in a lot of different ways. And I think maybe part of it is that the workday and the work week and all of those societal conventions are based around the male circadian day-to-day rhythm. So we're kind of expected to be the same every day, but that's not really how our bodies work. And I would take it a little bit further to say that, the best, now I'm not saying that we should all go and do this, I have prefaces, but the best time for our bodies to make babies is in our 20s, right? and our 30s as well. But I think that's safe to say. And we live in a culture that we kind of, the time that our culture says is the best time to have babies is not necessarily the best time that our bodies would say. It just doesn't match. Because at the time that we would be at our highest reproductive potential is the time that we are in the midst of our studies and setting up our lives, broke, right? Stereotypically, like, right? Like, it's just not the time from a practical standpoint that that would be optimal. So I think that there's a lot of things that are set up that are not at all in alignment with what's happening in our bodies. We could go also to a different part of the conversation, how research, even the majority of research is done on men or male animals. And so even our understanding of a variety of different issues is clouded by that, where the menstrual cycle and our hormonal cycle, it complicates things for researchers. So they just didn't put us in the studies. And that can affect whether it's medication. There's a good example of, women respond differently when they're having heart attacks and right? Like, so certain doctors may not always recognize the signs if a woman's having a heart attack, because she might have show it differently. So that's just a kind of an example to show that there's a lot of things that are just not optimized for us. So the approach that I take has always been to be that change that we want to see, instead of waiting for some guy to decide that this is important. And I think it's really up to us to take the reins. I think that's been happening. A lot of women go into a variety of fields or create their own fields or whatever it is to try to draw attention to these issues. A lot of women do something similar to myself or something similar to yourself, where you find that it's difficult to fit into the conventional 9-to-5 work scenario, especially when you start having children. For me, that was the most difficult when I started having children. It felt very difficult to fit into this world that wasn't made for a person with kids, at least little kids. That's how it felt to me. And so I think a lot of us are trying to find our own way, chart our own course, live differently. I mean, you're living abroad, so you're kind of going against the convention of the 9-to-5 city life kind of thing. We started businesses and things so that we could have more flexibility in terms of our work hours or even just the way that we work. Like, your daughter joined us for a little bit and then she kind of went and did her thing. That's typically not something that is possible in a corporate environment, right? So this is a huge conversation. Obviously, I'm touching on, though, a variety of facets, because I feel like it's not just that the menstrual cycle and all of that. I think that it's even the way we structure our whole lives that doesn't seem to be quite aligned with what would be the most natural for our bodies, for our cycles, for our lives, if we choose to make babies and raise families. Like, as women, we just have to kind of iterate and innovate and find ways to make this work for us and our families and our bodies and all the things.
Yeah, and that can be quite triggering when the mind has been so conditioned to how it means to show up in this world and exist. You know, this we're gonna go to university or we're gonna start a business, and my whole focus is on this. So
when we start to include, there's this inclusion of coming back to the body, body literacy. The body will communicate what it wants, what it needs, and they might not be in line with the mind, and they might not be in line with what society expects. So then there's a resistance and a trigger, and it's like holding space for all of that to really listen. And I think we've been going to so many places in this, in these episodes recently, because it's preconception, the conversation right now through it all. And so we're talking about relationships as well. And what comes up on the other side of this is men and the rite of passage into manhood, and like women taking on certain roles because they don't feel safe with the men around them. And then it's so interwoven and entangled into so much like really big conversations, life-changing conversations. And I know that that might seem overwhelming if anyone's listening to this and they're like, oh, is this what's going to happen if you go in? But I think just taking like the first steps to see it's you creating a relationship with your body. Like, how beautiful is that? And things can come gracefully and slowly. And I think because we have this month cycle, it's not like boom, like it can be like boom, there you go, sometimes deal with this, but there can be this gentleness as we take these teachings of understanding each phase of what's happening in our body. So we don't have to make the decisions straight away, because like you said, it might be something we need to address in our lives, or it might be that we just need more sleep or different nutrition. Like, it could be coming from that. So like, I really have now got to a point of feeling into the point of where I'm going into like an emotional frenzy, is because I just haven't had sleep for 3 days. My daughter has been sick, you know? So I'm like, I think I want to move to the moon or something, but actually I just need to sleep, you know? So it's like, it's getting to them points of like, physiological needs and an actual change or transition that's being asked of us.
I just want to interject a little bit. I wouldn't want to leave the audience with a sense of like impending doom, like everything's against us, like, right, the world. And so to kind of touch on what you said, I think that the good news is that we don't have to change everything on earth, and we don't have to change all these systems to kind of fit in. I think the first thing that's really, really helpful where, you know, where Lily and my work intersects, obviously, is the menstrual cycle. So just by starting to pay attention, some women are going to jump in and do all the charting, all the different fertile signs, and kind of take it all the way. But even if you just pay attention to when your periods are, start learning about the different phases of the cycle, start even just, I remember I had a conversation, and it's not just with one client. One client stands out, but with many clients over the years, about, you know, the permission to rest when you're having your period. You know, a lot of women are really active, working out, lifting weights. And it's like, you know, the men work out for like, they'll do the 40-day challenge or 30-day challenge. Like, you can actually take a break when you feel tired. And if you happen to notice that you have less energy as you approach your period or on your period, you can actually just take those days off, and then you can kind of make it up when you feel a little bit better. So I think from a basic standpoint, starting to think of yourself as a cyclical human being and starting to give yourself a little bit more grace. And then as you get into it, especially if you are cycling normally, or if you are preparing for pregnancy and you start paying attention to your cycle, I find that menstrual cycle charting is one of the most powerful motivational tools when I'm working with clients. And the reason for that is because it's always reflecting back to you what's going on in your body. So when you come off the pill, for example, just to give that, because we've been talking about that today, your cycles, there's a temporary, you know, period of subfertility that our body goes through. There's a little bit of time that it takes for the cycle to normalize. Like, that's pretty typical if you're coming off birth control. And what you can do during that time is learn to nourish your body, learn to identify which foods support optimal fertility, look at your energy level, make sure that you're consuming enough to support that and things like that. And what happens is, as you pay attention to your cycles, if you're tracking your periods, or even if you're tracking your moods, that kind of thing, then you can start to see those improvements. And I find that that's extremely encouraging, because all of a sudden now you have a way to tap into what's actually going on in your body, a representation of what's happening hormonally, but you also have the ability to make changes. You're more empowered to do that. And especially, it can be really powerful if you've ever been told by a doctor that, you know, no, that has nothing to do with it, the diet and stuff like that. So I think that there's a lot of opportunity for women to connect with this part of their bodies and their cycles and how it relates to their overall health. But the good news is that you don't have to do it all perfectly. You don't have to know everything. It just is as simple as starting from where you're at with what you know, and then building on that as you continue to pay attention to what's happening in your cycle.
Beautiful. Thank you for wrapping that one up. And it is this is these conversations, they can go in so many different places, right? And we only have so much time in the day. But I would love for you to share what you're offering in the world.
Well, thank you so much, first of all. So, I mean, what we've been talking about today, these topics we go through in detail in Real Food for Fertility, and of course, also in my first book, The Fifth Vital Sign. Both are available on Amazon. If you want more information specifically about Lily and I and all of the things that we're doing, you can head over to realfoodforfertility.com. And you can also get the first chapter of our book for free there if you wanted to have a sneak peek. You can find me, my favorite place to hang out online is Instagram at Fertility Friday. And if you liked what we talked about today, then I think you'll probably like my podcast. So we're in our 10th year of podcasting, which is completely insane, over 500 episodes. And so if you just type Fertility Friday in your favorite podcast player, you'll find that there. And I just want to share a resource that I've made for women's health professionals because I think it's really fun. So I created this resource with all of our best tips for how to interpret virtually any chart your client throws at you. That's what we called it. So fertilityfriday.com/chart for any of you out there that are wanting some support when your clients bring you charts that are kind of confusing and you're not sure where to go.
I'll put this in the show notes as well. Your website looks beautiful, by the way. Nice work.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. I have loved this conversation and I'm looking forward to learning more from you, and you have such wonderful resources. So thank you. And I hope you have a beautiful day. Thank you so much.